Title: Base Wobble Warp Guide Using Resampling Workflows in Ableton Live 12 for Jungle Old School DNB Vibes Advanced. Alright, let's build one of the most satisfying kinds of drum and bass basslines, the wobble that feels like it's being performed, not just modulated. This is the old school jungle trick where you print movement to audio, then you warp the audio itself, slice it like a break, and resample again. It's part sound design, part groove sculpting, and it gets you that tape-tued, sampler-worked personality that a clean LFO wobble just doesn't give you. Set your tempo first. Anywhere from 165 to 175 is home base. I'm going to sit at 172 BPM. And do not skip this. Get a basic drum groove running right now, even if it's just a simple two-step or an amen-style loop, because the whole point is that the bass wobble is going to lock into the pocket of the drums. We're not designing a bass in isolation. We're designing a bass that argues politely with the snare and winds. Now make three tracks. First, a MIDI track called Bass Source. That's our clean synth performance and automation. Second, an audio track called Bass Resample. That's where we print the first pass. Third, another audio track called Bass Prints. That's where we commit the final. This is the bass line now version, including our A and B variations. Let's build the bass source. You can use Operator or Wave Eatable. Operator is perfect if you want that classic clean to dirty pipeline. On Operator, set oscillator to a sine wave. Keep it simple. Pitch it down, either minus 12 or minus 24 semitones depending on where your notes sit. Then shape the amp envelope so it doesn't smear all over your drums. Attack at zero, decay around 200 milliseconds, sustain all the way down, and release somewhere like 80 to 150 milliseconds. The idea is hit and speak, not hang forever and fight the kick. If you're using Waveeatable instead, use basic shapes and park it between sine and triangle. Keep unison off for now. We want phase stability before we start printing and warping. Otherwise, the low end starts doing weird stuff. Now the key device chain. And this is important because we want resample friendly motion and harmonics. First, add saturator. Drive it somewhere between 3 and 8 dB. Turn on soft clip. This gives you harmonics for the warp engine to chew on later. Second, auto filter. Set it to low pass 24. Put the bass cutoff somewhere like 80 to 200 Hz. Don't worry, we'll animate it. Third, EQ 8. Don't high pass the sub right now. If it's boxy, do a tiny dip around 250 to 400 Hz, but keep it subtle. Now write a bass line. Keep it almost stupidly simple. One or two notes, but with rhythm. Old school jungle and early DNB bass lines are often about hypnosis and pocket, not melodic gymnastics. Make a two-bar MIDI clip. Pick a root note like F or G. Use syncopated eighth notes and sprinkle a couple 16th pickups, especially leading into the snare, and leave gaps. Your wobble is going to fill space, so you need silence in the pattern to create contrast. If the bass is constant, it stops feeling heavy. Now we create movement before resampling. This is the whole concept. We want motion that becomes audio, so later, warping isn't just stretching a static tone. It's stretching a moving target. That's where the character lives. Go into the clip envelopes and automate auto filter cutoff. Think like a drummer, not like a synth programmer. Do a couple 8-note sweeps. Add a few quick 16th flicks, especially right before beat 2 and beat 4 where the snare lands. And don't make it perfectly periodic. Jungle loves that slightly human wonk. You're basically drawing accents. You can also automate saturator drive on a few hits for push, or add a tiny bit of redux for crunch, but keep it optional at this stage. The main movement should be the filter. Quick coaching note. Treat warp like groove sculpting. You're not just fixing time. You're deciding where the bass speaks relative to the snare. A classic pocket is downbeat equals stable weight, pre-snare equals rising or peak energy, and post-snare equals either a short tail or nothing so the brakes can breathe. Alright, time to print. On the bass resample audio track, set audio from to bass source. Set monitoring to in. Arm the track and record 8 to 16 bars while the drums play. Don't just loop two bars and call it done. Print longer phrases, because the tiny differences and evolving automation become raw material for chopping later. Stop recording. Now you've got an audio clip that already contains movement. This is Gen 1, the first print. Keep that in mind, because this workflow works in generations. Gen 0 is your MIDI and synth. Clean pitch, clear movement. Gen 1 is your first printed audio. Motion captured. Gen 2 is worked and sliced. Rhythmic personality. Gen 3 is the final print. Glued, leveled, mix ready. And if it starts sounding small or overcooked, you don't fix it with more processing. You go back a generation. Now open the recorded clip on bass resample and turn warp on. Pick a warp mode based on the dirt you want. Beats mode is tight and choppy. Great when you want gated wobble and clear rhythmic edges. Set preserve to 1/16th or 1/8th and try forward transient handling for punch. Texture mode is the classic grimy time stretch. This is where the dark cavern jungle bass lives. Grain size somewhere like 20 to 60, flux around 10 to 30. You'll hear it smear and chew. And that's the point. Complex Pro can be smoother, but it can also sound a bit modern and hi-fi stretchy. It's useful, but for old-school grit, texture and beats usually win. Here's an advanced move. Duplicate the clip or duplicate the track before you commit to a mode. Then you can /B texture versus beats without losing your warp marker edits. The marker moves stay, but the time stretch engine changes the dirt character. Now we get into the core skill, warp markers. Find a strong bass hit that feels like the start of a phrase. If the clip is drifting, set 1.1.1 here so your phrase starts where you think it does. Then place warp markers on key movement points, not on every little wiggle. Think macro first. Macro edits. Move 2 to 6 key moments in the bar. Where does the filter peak? Where does the vowel moment happen? Where does the tail end? Mark those points. Then do micro edits. Zoom in and nudge only the transient edge, sometimes literally 1 to 10 milliseconds. This is how you stop the bass from flaming against hats and ghost snares. Those tiny nudges are what make it feel expensive. Now, retime the wobble. Pull certain movement points earlier to create a rushing wobble. Push others later for a laid-back, lazy pull. And aim the peak like a sniper. A really reliable DNB target is to make the wobble peak land just before the snare on beat 2. And beat 4. That gives you tension into the snare without masking it. For rollers, keep the sub stable on downbeats, and let the wobble answer in the gaps. Also, watch the sub. If you warp a pure sine-heavy sub too aggressively, it can go seasick. That's pitch and phase weirdness, and it will make the low end feel weak. If you hear that happening, don't force it. Bullet it later. Keep a clean sub layer and abuse the mids. Once you've got a section that sounds nasty in a good way, consolidate it. Grab one or two bars that feel like the perfect loop, and consolidate with Control or CMDJ. Now you've got a clean chunk. Next step, slice it like a break. Right-click and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Slice by transients. This will create a drum rack full of bass slices. Now you're in jungle editing mindset. You can trigger slices on 16ths, use longer slices as wub tails, and do call and response with the drums. Try in a pattern that's mostly 8th note wobble, and then a B pattern that stutters into the snare with quick 1/16th chops. The beauty is that this is audio performance now. It's not an LFO. It's playable. And here's a slick trick. Clip gain is your invisible sidechain. Instead of smashing the bass with compression, draw tiny clip gain dips exactly where the snare hits. You keep loudness and character, but you carve space with surgical precision. Old school tightness. No pumpy modern drama unless you want it. Now we re-resample. This is where it starts feeling like hardware. Route the output of that sliced bass track into bass prints. Set audio from appropriately, arm bass prints and record 8 bars while you perform your A-to-B variation. This is Gen 2 becoming Gen 3. The performance is now glued into a single audio clip. At this stage, do your mix-focused shaping on bass prints. Start with utility. Make sure the low end is mono. If you're doing anything wide, do it above the sub. Gain stage so you're peaking somewhere like -12 to -6 dB. Give yourself headroom. Then EQ8. Keep the fundamental, often around 40 to 60 Hz, depending on the key and the bass. If it's muddy, dip around 180 to 350 Hz. If you need note readability on small speakers, a gentle presence bump around 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz can help, but careful, because that range can get honky fast. Then saturator again. Lightly, 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip on. If it gets fizzy, EQ after it, not before. Then glue compressor, but stay classy. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack 3 to 10 milliseconds, release on auto. You're looking for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction just to catch peaks and knit it together. And if you want a little extra arrangement energy, add a post filter with tiny automation. Closed in the verse, open in the drop. Simple, effective. Now, if you want to go darker and heavier without wrecking the sub, do the split workflow. Duplicate your printed bass. On the SUB track, low pass around 90 to 120 Hz. Keep it clean, keep it mono, and avoid heavy warp artifacts. On the MID track, high pass around 90 to 120 Hz, and that's where you do the warping, distortion, redux, and all the ugly beautiful stuff. You can even do a parallel artifact layer. Duplicate the mid, warp it harder in texture or beats, add redux or overdrive, then high pass it around 200 to 300 Hz. Blend it quietly. That's how you get grime and motion, without thinning the body. Another advanced flavor move, triplet smears. Find one vowel-ish moment in the warped audio, stretch it so it spills across an eighth note triplet space, then reprint it and use it like a recurring lick every four bars. That's instant rag jungle flavor. Or do reverse peaks into the snare, duplicate a small slice, reverse it, warp it so it swells into beat 2 and 4, and layer it quietly behind the main bass. That suction effect is pure tension. Arrangement-wise, keep it old school, repeat a 2-bar phrase for hypnosis, then make tiny edits every 4 or 8 bars so it evolves without losing the loop magic. You can even use generation contrast like a 2-drop progression. First drop uses Gen 1 or Gen 2, more natural. Second drop uses Gen 2 or Gen 3, more chewed. Same riff, escalating intensity. Before we wrap, common mistakes to avoid. Don't warp the sub to death. If the low end starts wobbling in pitch in a bad way, split it and keep the sub clean. Don't live in Complex Pro by default. It can sound too polished. Texture and beats usually give you the jungle grime.